It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio today. Well, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and our special guest for today is Laura Alo. Her topic is big change equals big opportunity. And she says transitions are often scary, especially if they start off in a negative way. So shifting your perspective even a little bit will allow you to turn those tough changes, into big opportunities. Divorce, as with any big upheaval in your life, can feel overwhelming, but it may just be the chance of a lifetime. Well, Laura, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Doug. I'm really excited to be back.
Well, do you realize it's been exactly 1 year since you were on the show last talking about the power of choice?
Yes, I do. I remember our last interview, and I had such a good time, I kept bugging you to come back.
It didn't take much bugging. Well, look, you know the format, but our guests may not have heard your last show, so let's start out with a little bit of your background before we get into the topic for today about what you did before your business today.
Sure. So I really have had a long career in the fitness industry. I spent a lot of years teaching fitness classes and working in management and actually at the corporate level, overseeing some of the Group X programming for the second largest gym chain in the country. But really at the heart of that was always my desire to help people feel good about themselves. That's kind of my personal mission statement. And so when I left that corporate life, then that's when I turned toward coaching, because I just wanted to be able to dig in a little bit deeper with people, and then, you know, sort of eventually winding my way toward divorce coaching, which is where I'm at today.
And your coaching training was what?
I went through Well Coaches, which was initially, it's a wellness-based coaching program, and they're recognized by ICF as well as ACSM, which is the American College of Sports Medicine. Oh. So it's kind of, it starts out as a definitely a wellness focused coaching. And then from there, I took my training into doing more personal development coaching, which is kind of where I moved, because I realized that I loved that fitness industry, but after 20 something years, I wanted to go a little deeper. So,
so I sort of
shift from there. Yeah.
So you're the person that when somebody says you're a coach, what sport do you coach? You really are a physical coach.
I can speak to it all if we want to.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, tell us about your current business model. You're a divorce coach. You say you're the divorce strategist.
Yes, that's right. It's really your fault that's why I am where I am. The last time that we talked, I kept talking about, a lot of the clients that I had, that was the transition that they seemed to be facing, and that was the challenge. And of course, I myself had gone through a fairly high conflict divorce, so I really drew on that experience to work with my clients. And I think that because of that, that's how I began to really get more of that sort of clientele interested in what I was doing. And that was when you said, oh, so divorce coaching is your niche. And I said, I guess it is.
So, oh, I'll have to be careful what I say today.
Yeah, I better watch out for you. I don't know what I'll end up doing next.
Well, you know, I do remember the conversation. It seemed you had a stunned look on your face when I said it, and yet it seemed so natural based on everything you were saying, your background, your experience, mm-hmm. what you're passionate about.
Coaches need a coach too sometimes to point out the things that everyone else can see but you. So.
Well, I'm absolutely convinced that what we coach the best is is the problem we're currently having ourselves.
I think so, yeah. I think those things that you need to deal with or have recently dealt with are the things that you really feel passionate about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I don't remember what it was last time. I should have looked it up. I ask everybody their guiding principle. What's your guiding principle?
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of times when I tell people now that I'm a divorce strategist and coach, they sort of take a step back like, oh no, divorce, that's catching. I better get out of here. But really, my guiding principle is that, you know, divorce is not the end. It's an end, but it's not the end. And it could be an opportunity of a lifetime. I don't really advocate for divorce. I believe in marriage, and I think those vows are very important. But I really do advocate for people living the best life that they can and being the best version of themselves. And sometimes that's going to include divorce. So that's really what sort of guides me is helping people figure out, is this the best thing for me? And if it is, how can I move through it with as much dignity and grace as I can, so that when I come through the other side, I feel hopeful and I can see that I have opportunity instead of being chained to that past.
Wonderful. You know, we were talking before the show, and you made a reference to the fact that, as given the nature of the work you do with clients, you take on a lot of their stress.
I can sometimes, yeah.
Does that fit into your physical fitness programs?
It actually
burn off of that?
It really does. You know, all throughout my life, fitness has been a place that's been a really big stress reliever for me in my personal life. So that sort of bleeds over into anything that I'm taking on in my professional life as well. And I recently, even though I've been teaching fitness for many years, became very interested in yoga and started practicing yoga and meditation for myself a number of years ago. And now I am also teaching yoga as well. And boy, is that such a huge place for not just myself, but for my clients to have an outlet to really get back in touch with themselves.
I need to talk to you about that. I need to learn more about it.
Yeah.
I think I'm being conned at home. Whenever my wife doesn't want me to talk to her, she says, I'm meditating. No, I shouldn't pick on her.
Well, you don't want to cross that. People that are in meditation need it. So if you're you interrupt it, you might be interrupting the wrong thing.
Well, you know, I am so glad you're here today. You know, and I just want to share some of the thoughts that I was going through as we were talking about you being on the program. And and while it was so obvious to me a year ago that divorce is really what you're passionate about, that that's an area where you could really help people, you know, that you're comfortable in it, it was also obvious to me, and especially as we thought about you coming back on the show, the word divorce is so scary to me. It's like, I don't want to advertise a show that's going to be about divorce. Nobody's going to listen. Who wants to listen to that kind of a show? And I know I kind of pushed you. Could you come up with another title that doesn't include the word divorce in it, you know? World War III. Okay, that sounds good.
Sometimes, yes.
You know, but I think it's good that we're talking about this, because it did make me realize, probably like everybody else, in some ways, it's almost a taboo topic still.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one people want to talk about.
Yeah.
Is that what you find?
I think so. I find that a lot of people look at divorce sometimes as a personal failure. So they don't want to talk about it if they're considering it or going through it. And it scares people that are in a solid relationship that, you know, what if this could happen to me? So it really becomes something that people try to avoid. But you know, the statistics don't lie. There's 50% of those marriages, first marriages, 70% of second marriages end in divorce. So I think that it's important to talk about it, demystify the process a little bit so it's not such a scary thing, and people can sort out the emotional side from what I call the job of divorce, which is, you know, working through the division of your assets and things like that, and make it something that is a positive force in your life. It's not fun while you're going through it. It's not necessarily what I would say is a positive experience, but that doesn't mean that it is a negative thing that's happening in your life. It's something that it's just a change, and the more you can come to terms with it and not be afraid to talk about it, the more opportunity you have to really launch into your next phase of life with a lot better perspective and more hope and some direction about where you want to go now.
And you know, from everything I've studied and observed, when we're dealing with change, any kind of change, the scariest things about change is, one is if somebody else is forcing me to change.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't my idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden I got a real problem handling change.
Yeah.
And the second is when I don't know what the world's going to look like the other side of the change.
Right.
When those two things come together, it is almost amazing that people ever can function
and
get squared away. And I would imagine that's where you spend a lot of your time.
Yeah, it can be very paralyzing for people. And so that's why in anything that you're doing, I feel like it's really important if you want to conquer something that's not a positive in your life, whether it's a bad habit or a change that's been forced on you that you weren't prepared for, any of those kinds of things, you've got to have something positive to replace that with. Otherwise, you keep going back to that negative thought pattern. And that's a lot of times what I deal with. One of the main topics is I can't seem to let it go. I can't seem to let it go. And that can be even people that chose the divorce themselves. They still may have a lot of anger over why they felt like they had to make that choice. The same thing with people that had the choice made for them. They just have a hard time letting go of that anger. But if they work on, and this is a lot of what I work with clients on, if they work on replacing that habit of thinking about all the things that went wrong, the should-haves, the would-haves, the could-haves, and interrupt their thought process when it starts up in their head and say, you know, it is what it is, or some other, I actually tell people to come up with a little catchphrase, something that helps stop that thought process, and then redirect their thoughts to the positives. And you need to look at your future and what those positives might bring. And if you can sort of get yourself out of that negative loop and move to the positive, then that really helps take some of that scariness, and you can move forward without as much fear.
And you know, as you and I were talking about this, it seems to me that while we're talking about divorce, that a lot of what we're talking about applies to any major change in your life. And mm-hmm. I don't want to diminish the trauma and emotions that come with divorce. But I've been spending a lot of time lately with executives looking at retirement, looking mm-hmm. at changing their business, selling their business. And it's the same sort of issues, you know. It's what am I going to be afterwards? Mm-hmm. How can I get rid of, even when they've decided that they want to sell mm-hmm. for financial reasons, then they're left with the emotional issue of what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Who am I? Who am I going to hang out with? Who do I spend my time with?
Yeah.
All of many of the same issues that people face in a divorce.
Yeah, I would say so. It's, you know, transitions are transitions, and it's always sort of scary at the beginning. Sometimes it's kind of messy in the middle, and then you're out the other side. And hopefully, in most cases, if people do have sort of some kinds of plans in place, they don't have to be, you know, anchored in concrete, but a vision of where it is that they want to go. And sometimes that really takes exploration. I know, you know, you were talking to me about some of the retirees that you talk to, that they're not really sure what they like. They've invested their adult life in their career, and if it's their own business, even more so, it's almost like their child. And it's the same thing with divorce. You've invested years of your life in this relationship that's now ending. And so a lot of your identity has become really wrapped up in those titles of, you know, whatever it is, executive vice president
sure.
or founder or husband or wife or whatever. You've been invested in that identity, and now you have to, you know, reconfigure your identity a little bit. And it takes effort. It doesn't just come to you. You have to dig a little bit. And I think you would agree that that's part of the job of the coach, is the answers are in there somewhere. Our job is to use the right questions to pull the answers out and make them clear to everybody.
And I think that's what we're doing, whether we're talking divorce or retirement. It's the issue of asking the questions that sort of break the log jam of you coming up with the standard answer you've been given for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, looking at it differently, looking at opportunities, recognizing that there may be other answers, there may be other avenues to explore that could be as exciting, maybe more exciting mm-hmm. than what you've currently been either in a relationship with or the business that you've been in.
Exactly.
And it is a challenge when we're asking people to basically shake up everything, you know?
Absolutely.
I love to read fiction, and I for a long time I used to read a lot of Westerns, and it always amazed me I tried to picture myself living in some place like Pennsylvania and getting in a covered wagon and traveling for, I didn't know, they couldn't tell me how long it would be, and they couldn't tell me what it was going to be like at the other end.
Yeah.
And I just trusted someone to lead this wagon train and take me to a new place. I don't know how people did that then.
Yeah.
And today, whether we're divorcing or whether we're retiring, we're sort of entering the same exploration.
Yeah, absolutely. It's uncharted territory
uncharted
for a lot of people.
Uncharted, for sure. Well, look, before we go any further, I don't want to interrupt our conversation. Let's do a quick commercial, and then we will get right back and talk about this.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge, with the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days, all with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
All right, let's get back to Doug and his guest.
Okay, and we're back from commercial, and we're talking with Laura Aylo today about the divorce strategist, and we're talking about relationships and divorce. And you know, during the break, while we were listening to the commercial, the producer asked the question, you know, he said, I was stunned at the statistic you gave that second marriages have less opportunity or less chance of succeeding than first marriages. You want to speak to that, Laura?
Yeah, I love that. It always stuns people. It stunned me, actually, when I first found that out. But it makes perfect sense because it's kind of a twofold reason. The first part is you've done it once, it's less scary. And so people, you know, when you've done something once, if you bungee jump once, it's easier the second time. It's kind of the same thing. You've really reduced some of your anxiety about it. But the real big issue, I think, is that oftentimes people haven't addressed their role in what didn't work in their first marriage. And so subconsciously, they often pick somebody for a second marriage that may have some of the same underlying issues. They can look like completely different people in their personalities and their careers and all of those things, but they still sometimes have some of those traits that you sought out unknowingly in your first partner. Now you've done it with a second partner and it frustrates you. And that kind of can lead to that issue. So it's really important to take a hard look at yourself, which is difficult to do.
Impossible to do in some cases, unless you have a great coach like you are.
It does help to have someone that is willing to ask the right questions.
Well, you know, I mean, as coaches, one of the things that we are trained to do is when we're dealing in a conflict situation, when we're dealing with a client that has a problem, which is why else would they be with us?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the question that you ask them, maybe frame it a little better than this, is, and what was your contribution to this problem?
Exactly.
And for most of us, when we're asked that question, it's like, oh, nothing. It was the other person.
She did it.
He did it. They did it. You know. But some way, not to say that you were wrong, but some way we all participate in the problem. Maybe we didn't create it. Maybe we didn't do anything to stop it. Maybe we did something to to flame it up even more, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, it's if unless we can realize what our contribution was to creating the problem, we're going to step right back into it again.
Yeah, I think where it comes into play is that people tend to confuse the word responsibility with blame or fault. And so when if I ask somebody, you know, in what way were you responsible for this, they think that I'm asking them, how is this your fault?
Yeah.
And that's not the same question. I often will use the example in my own first marriage, and I was married to somebody that was fairly abusive. And so I would always say, I was a great wife. It wasn't my fault that he behaved that way. And I did everything to try to avoid that. But what I realized upon more introspection and all the personal development work that I've done on my own self was that in choosing that first partner, I chose for all the wrong reasons. I chose somebody that was kind of rebellious, and I was such a rule follower. So I was really choosing, to counterbalance what I viewed as some of my own faults. And that's not really the best reason to marry somebody.
Opposites.
Yeah. And then I had a client one time, and she had told me she was just devastated. She had no idea that her husband wanted a divorce. And I asked her if there had ever been any red flags, and she said no. And so I probed her a little bit further and found out that she was her husband's fourth wife. Every single previous wife he had cheated on and then married the woman that he cheated on, she being one of them. And I said, you didn't consider that a red flag?
Whoa.
She's like, I guess when you put it like that, it does make more sense. So it's another one of those situations where when we are in it, we're so close to it a lot of times that we can't see, or we choose not to see subconsciously what's very obvious to everybody else. But we kind of get an agenda set in our mind and we go with it and let the facts fall where they may.
Well, we get emotionally attached to a perspective.
Yes.
A way of looking at a problem.
Yeah.
And we don't want to let go. It's hard to let go of that and admit there might be another perspective that's just as right or better or different.
Exactly.
Or acceptable or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So. A little more accuracy.
Well, look, I don't want to go too far without letting the audience know about your book. It's sitting here in front of me.
Yeah.
You brought me a book. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called Divorce is a Push-Up.
Here, I'll hold it up so you know what the title is.
Yes, so I remember what it is. It's called Divorce is a Push-Up, Get Strong to Get Through. And it's kind of a little bit of a play on my fitness background. And I like the analogy of what it takes to get physically fit for a difficult event. So if you're training for a triathlon or an Ironman or a marathon or something, you can't just run out there and do it without having a lot of serious injury to yourself, most likely. So it really pays if you want to involve yourself in a difficult event like that, to train yourself for it, to be prepared for it. You've got to have some preparation. And so that's really what the book is about. How do I decide if I want to enter this marathon called divorce? And then what do I need to do to get strong to get through it? So looking at, what is your financial status? What is, kind of legal paths do you want to take? Because there are several different ways that you could handle your divorce. What's my emotional status right now? How am I going to keep myself above water throughout this whole thing? How do I deal with the kids? What kind of self-care can I expect to need to be doing for myself? And all of those things, if you can sort of have some preparation for it, you get through your divorce with as much of that dignity and grace. I'm very attached to people trying to move through it the best way possible and come out with a little bit of growth, some new knowledge about yourself and the way you view the world, and a fresh perspective on your future and what you're going to be doing. And that's really sort of the thrust of the book, is just let's get you prepared, demystify that process so it's not too scary, and point you in the direction that you need to go if you choose to move forward.
Wonderful. And where do people get the book?
Amazon, Amazon.com. You can buy it there. You can buy a physical copy, or I have it on Kindle as well. So
okay.
You can get in there and get
wonderful. And when I post the podcast up, I'll make sure that I have the link to Amazon there. And while we're at it, in case somebody gets cut off before the end, what's your website address?
Yes, it is thedivorcestrategist.com.
Okay. And it's a great website. You have a lot of interesting information on there, and you were very willing to share your own personal story, which is...
You know, I feel like many coaches, they're in what they're doing because they have a passion, usually due to some personal experience, and particularly in the case of divorce. And I am comfortable sharing with it because it's not a wound that I'm bleeding from anymore.
Okay. Makes a difference,
you know, that
doesn't
it? It really does. But I hope that it can, because I had a rather extreme divorce, I would say, and I had to go through a lot of crazy things to get to the other side. And so I hope in sharing that story that, one, I can shine a little light on what the process looks like, what not to do, because I did a lot of things wrong, I would say. But also that even in spite of all of that, you can come through the other side and have a much better, more fulfilling life than you ever thought was even possible. And I hope that that helps people feel a little bit of hope for themselves, as well as, you know, some sort of kinship. It's always better if you are working with somebody that really can understand and has a compassion and empathy for what it is you're going through.
I'm a firm believer in that, and I think you've got the credentials for that. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, you do.
I know. Well, you know, they always say everything happens for a reason, which I think is kind of a dubious phrase, but in that case, I guess that it helps me out now.
Well, look, let's get into what does a divorce strategist do? Okay, we talked a little bit about divorce and the emotional stress around it, but what is the role that you as a coach play?
Yeah, I love that question because, you know, coaches come in every sort of shape and size, and that even goes for a niche group like divorce coaching. And as we were talking before, there are some divorce coaches that will help you fill out the paperwork, and that will not be me. I don't want to do paperwork if I can possibly avoid it. But what I really like to do is I have a really great network of attorneys and mediators and certified financial advisors that specifically work with divorce, real estate agents. They all have specific training to working with people going through divorce. So I have amazing resources that I can send people through. And that helps me even if I am working with somebody out of state, because I work with people all over the country. But I can help still direct them to really good resources and help them understand and untangle, do I need a mediator, or do I need a divorce attorney, or do I need a collaborative, you know, divorce? Can I do it myself? Some people ask me that, which I usually say no, that's not the best. I said technically yes, you can, but legally it's quite the high wire to walk if you try to do it all yourself. So I help, you know, point people in the right direction. I have this great curated list of people that I like to work with, and then that helps them you know, have the best resources and support that they can. Then when they're working with me, we sit down and map out, that's the strategy part, what do you want out of this? You know, what's really important to you? And then we sort of put together their ideal, like in my dream of how things would go, it would look like this. And then we put together a plan B, because usually plan A is going to have to take a little tweaking. We put together a plan C, because sometimes even plan B is not quite there yet. And then we talk about ways that they can respond. What are some strategies for when A, B, and C just fly out the window? I do like to work with people that are struggling with a high conflict divorce to give them some skills to deal with somebody that seems like they're being pretty unreasonable most of the time. And so that they can continue to maintain what it is that they want and need, and always really keep that at the forefront of their divorce. And then, of course, we work on the emotional side and working through the feelings. You know, it's a process, just like any grief process. You have to come to terms with the fact that this dream that you had is ending, and allow yourself some time to grieve for that, and then kind of move through some of the anger and other feelings that come up, and then start moving towards your future with some positivity in mind, because, you know, this is an opportunity for you to live a better life. And that's not going to happen if you stay anchored in that anger period. You really have to work through that. So we work on all of those things together. And it really helps them stay focused, and it helps them save time and money when they're working with their divorce support team. So they're not calling their lawyer at $500 an hour, you know, sobbing on the phone. They've kind of have that part handled. So when they're with their other divorce support team members, they really stay focused on what they need to.
Let me back you up a minute. You said you work with them in identifying what they want, their strategy, what they want. Now, I'm assuming that you're not talking about what they want in the terms of a property settlement. You're talking about what they want in the way of what they want their life to be like. Is that?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both.
Let's clarify that.
Yeah, because when you're getting ready to go through the divorce, people typically think about the division of debts and assets. That's
absolutely
kind of the top thing that they think about.
And who gets the cat?
Exactly. And, you know, people can just go to the mattresses over, you know, a vacuum cleaner or a cheese grater. Like, they're just duking it out over that. And so what I help people to do when we're talking about a strategy for the actual divorce process is, you know, what are the things that are really important to you? Like, if it's absolutely critical that you keep the dishes that, you know, have been in your family, and that might end up on the negotiating table, then that's, you know, an absolute, I won't go below this line. Maybe there's, you know, some items that you would like to have, but you could give up if you had to. Like, just sort of identifying, not down to every last little, you know, thimble of property, but just really sort of identifying the must-haves, the nice-to-haves, and what you could let go of. And having some of that planned out in advance really does help them when they get into the negotiating phase with their spouse, because they kind of have their ideals, but they already have identified some things they're okay with giving up.
Okay, so you're identifying it from a what is emotionally important to me to have
exactly.
out of this, not from a valuation standpoint.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there are so many laws that are around the division of assets, and people get really worried because sometimes a spouse will say, I'm not giving you anything. Well, they can't legally do that. So, you know, you need to kind of put people's minds at ease over those things. And then from there, if they have kids, we talk about what kind of plans that they, custody arrangements that they would be comfortable with. It just gives them a little bit of substance to go into negotiations with, so that they have some idea of what they really do want, what really does matter to them. And then from there, it is much more of the life planning. So some of it, we talk about the practical. Are you going to need a place to live? Do you need a job? Because some people have been maybe staying at home, but they're going to need to get full-time work. What does that look like? And then we really start to, as we start to wind down, we get all of those practical matters nailed down, and they're moving forward, and we're making progress through the divorce process. That's when we really start to focus on who do you want to become mm-hmm. after this happens. And so this could be trying to identify what you do and don't like. Sometimes we've been so, as we talked about, identified with your spouse that you're not sure what you do or don't like, especially if you got married pretty young. You really kind of grew up together with that person. And really opening up your perspective a little bit so that you can start to see the things that are now available to you. Maybe you always wanted to go to the ballet, but your spouse wouldn't. Now you can do that. Oh my gosh. You know, it's just those little things that can help you start to move forward. Where do I find friends? All of our friends were shared. I need some new friends. I don't know how to find friends. We talk about things like that. So that they can be set up for success when the divorce is over.
You know, in the work that I've been doing on retirement and planning for retirement, helping executives plan for retirement, one of the things that is often neglected but seems to me to be one of the most important things to consider is what's going to happen to your network. You know, when, and most people don't think about this. It's like when an executive thinks about, I'm not going to be going to work anymore. It's like, well, but you always stopped at Starbucks and visited with the people there. And that was an uplifting way to start your day. They knew your name. It was like the bar cheers, you know, kind of thing, but on today's level. And the people that you talked to all day long were the people that you had at work. And,
right.
And maybe you had outside work relationships, but it was still with the people at work. I would imagine that same thing becomes key in the divorce is, what are you going to do to create the network? Because so many networks in a divorce situation are couple-oriented.
Yes.
And they sort of disappear.
Yeah, they do. And you can feel uncomfortable sometimes, even if your couple friends still want to spend time with you. Sometimes you feel a little bit, it's just a little bit uncomfortable to now always be with them. So you need to start fresh. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think that you can start to open up, maybe exploring things that maybe you've always enjoyed or wanted to try out or, you know, explore. And you can find new groups to do that with. And that's just, you know, you kind of start from there. So you have to create the community now instead of having sort of that ready-made community that you built with your spouse or, you know, with the retirees, with your business, with your coworkers. It's just another phase of having to, you know, spread your wings a little bit.
When you start working with somebody, is it a foregone conclusion that they're going to get divorced and that's not an issue that you address?
Not always. It really depends at what point somebody comes to me. I actually do have quite a few people that initially will come to me because they're not sure if that's what they want to do. And okay. So, you know, we do a couple of exercises to help them figure out if that's what they really want. Sometimes people say, do you try to talk people into it? I said, no, I would never. Oh my gosh, that's such a huge life decision. And if somebody feels like they really haven't given something their all yet, and they're just not, they're thinking about it, but they're not quite prepared to make that decision, it's absolutely okay to step back and take some more time. And I give them some things to think about, and I'm a very big fan of journaling, so writing some things down, yeah. Because once you get it out of your head and onto paper, it can seem completely different than when it's just rolling around in your brain. So I really encourage people to do that, and then they make their decision on their own. So I'm happy to be a part of that process of them just trying to make the decision.
You know, it seemed that there's I hadn't thought about that before, but what a unique role that because you are dealing with so many people going through divorce and understand the issues that they may not be thinking about that they're going to have to face, you're in a really good position to talk to someone who's maybe debating about it, mm-hmm. and helping them see these are the things that are going to happen,
yeah.
that are going to affect you emotionally, life-wise.
Yeah.
Have you considered them?
Yeah, we do definitely talk a little bit about those things because you can sort of get blindsided by things that you didn't think about or didn't expect. And I write a weekly blog on my website, and that's one of the articles I wrote, I think last month, was the secret side that no one tells you about. And the secret side is that you, who may be the most even-keeled person on the earth, may have a moment where you just lose it. And
only one?
Yeah. I consider myself a pretty even-tempered person, but I know there was this rather tragic incident where I was like screaming at somebody in the parking lot in front of a Starbucks, actually, because I had just had it. I had just been, my every last nerve was frayed, and I had just had it. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a divorce coach now, to help people have an outlet so that hopefully they don't have to be a screaming person in the parking lot, because I didn't have that outlet. So I really think that there are a lot of little things that you might not think about that somebody that deals with people going through it can let you know, hey, you know, this could be you. So think about, you know, how you would handle this scenario.
Okay. You mentioned to me earlier that you have, I was curious about how you work with clients. You mm-hmm. have different packages available to them. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share a little bit about how people use you and use your time?
Yeah. So I typically work with people on either the phone or Skype. That enables me to be able to work with people all over the country. If they're local to Orange County, sometimes we meet in person, but generally that's, and sometimes it's actually a little easier when it's such an emotional topic to not have to be face to face with somebody, which is kind of interesting to me. But they definitely sometimes feel more comfortable. And then I've got three different packages, six sessions, 10 sessions or 14 sessions, and they're spread out anywhere from, 4 months to 8 months of time that they can use those sessions. And along with that, I, give some worksheets, some scripting. Sometimes you need a little script of like, how do I tell people? What do I say if I need to approach my husband and tell him I want a divorce, or what do I tell my friends and coworkers? All that kind of thing. It's helpful to have some of that. So in the packages, I include those things. I'll send people a copy of my book. And then sometimes people don't necessarily need as much support as that, but they sort of need just nudges in the right direction. So I also make it available for people to just call, schedule a one-time call, and then, that might push them off in the right direction, and maybe they'll pick up another call at another point in time.
Great.
Yeah, and I do have one other one. It's sort of a intensive all-day package. So if you just want to go A to B and you want to spend one whole day banging it out, then we will do that. And that one I will do in person, so it may involve some travel for either my client or myself. But typically people are more interested in spreading things out a little bit.
Wonderful. Okay, we're getting close to wrapping up. What else do you want to share with the audience that we haven't gotten to yet?
I really just want people to not fear going through divorce. I know it feels like a heavy cloud hanging over you, and there's so many tentacles to it. It's never just you and your spouse. It's, you and your spouse and his parents and your parents and kids, if you have it, your pets, your friends, your aunts, your uncle, like there are all these people that are involved. And so it can really feel like this big, heavy burden. But the truth is only you have to walk in your shoes, and only you have to live with the choices that you make for the rest of your life. So I think it's really important for you to make the decisions that are best for you. And that may include divorce. And if that is the case, then that's the case. And that's, that is what it is kind of thing. And it's okay to accept that fact and then prepare for it and then move through it with as much, chin up as you can. And that I really do, I know I've emphasized that several times, but the reason why I think that that is so important is that while you're in the moment, you can really feel like I don't care, I'm angry, and you want to act out. But your future self is going to be looking back on how you handled this. And that's why it's so important to handle things the right way, so that when you are looking back 5 years from now at how you handled yourself, you can feel good about that. And you can mark that as this beginning of a new phase in your life. And amazing things can be happening for you. Just put a little bit of effort and forethought into it, and the future's yours.
Other than attorneys, you're the only person I've talked to that's positive about divorce. And we know why they are.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough, like we, said at the outset, it's not necessarily a positive thing that's in your life, but it doesn't have to be a negative it doesn't have to be a negative thing. It can be a definite way forward for you. And it's difficult because it's emotionally challenging and you are making a big transition. But transitions happen. You've made it through transitions before and probably been a lot happier for it. And you can make it through this too and be a lot happier for it. It's just all about how you are viewing it.
Well, I love the perspective that you paint divorce with, and with ignoring the blame issue of who is it, and ignoring the issue of is it a right or wrong action, is it morally right or not morally right. It is just one of those things that we deal with in life, and it's how we deal with it that will shape who we are afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm not too wild about getting older, but I'm going to get older.
Yeah.
And so the choice now is, how do I choose to deal with that?
Yeah.
There may be limitations, whatever, things you have to change that you can't do the way you used to.
Right.
And I can keep ignoring it.
Yeah.
And suffer the painful consequences, or I can choose to accept it as an inevitable transition.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we go about handling it? And that's the spirit I hear you taking with your clients.
Yeah, I think it's who you become along the way. And goals are great, and you're looking to that future, but that future starts now, and how you behave and how you handle things now and how you put things in front of you now is all about how you become the person that you want to become. And you have a really good chance to do that as long as you're aware and conscious of how you're behaving and what you're doing.
Great. Okay, once again, how do people get a hold of you?
You can find me on my website, thedivorcestrategist.com. I'm also on Facebook under The Divorce Strategist, shockingly enough. And Twitter, I'm on Divorce Coach OC, so you can find me there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love to interact with people on Facebook. I've got a great little Facebook group. It's a private group so that we keep all the lurkers out. And then I have a page that's just kind of highlights the business, and then of course my website is got all kinds of freebies on there.
It has a lot of information.
Yeah, I've got a divorce survival kit that's free, and yeah, a lot of things to help people kind of get started.
Okay, and again, your book, Divorce is a Push-Up.
That's right.
Get the book. It's I love your cover on it too. It's
thank
a great
you.
Book. Well, look, Laura, thank you very much for joining us again. It's a pleasure to have you back, and it's a sort of a first for us here on the Coaching Perspective Radio Show to see a transition that you've gone through, as you say, because of being on the show.
That's right. I know. All kinds of crazy things. I'm glad you didn't suggest I become a truck driver or something.
We aren't going to use those.
Heading down a new career.
It's going to be all automated. There aren't going to be any truck drivers.
It was really my honor to be on the show, and I just am so excited to be able to come back on the show. So I think you do such great work and highlight so many amazing coaches on here. So I'm just feel really blessed to be able to take part in that.
Well, thank you very much for being here. And again, welcome back to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show community.
Thank you.
Well, look, you've been listening to another great interview. If you tuned in late, you can always get it by listening to our podcast. If you're listening to our podcast, then I want to thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out the archives of other shows with some other great guests while you're there, and I'm sure you can find other topics that you're interested in. Speaking of guests, we're always interested in having guests. We're now scheduling guests for June. We're kind of booked up for the next couple of months, and we're partially booked for June. So if you'd like to be on the show, stop just thinking about it. Drop me an email, Doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Or just go to the website. There's a place to indicate that you're interested there. I'm a master certified coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching leaders and their teams for 21 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. And if you'd like to know more about my coaching services, again, just go to the website. If you want to know anything, go to the website or Google it, one or the other. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information, new insights, and a new insight in how to deal with divorce, issues that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again next week. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller.